Nail or beauty school was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, it's Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined by Bailey.
Hi.
And by Erin.
Hi.
And we have Becca back with us.
Yoda.
And we're also joined by about 40 other nail techs. Say hi, guys. This is a special live recorded episode of the podcast coming to you from Monaco Summit 2024, which is a conference. I don't know. I've been saying conference to people because it seems the easiest, but we have 2 days of training and networking and competitions. A couple of beers are already floating around, but we'll see. We don't need shaky hands today. It's fine. Comps are tomorrow. And then we've got the Nail Central Nail Tech Expo on Saturday. So we're in for 3 days of a lot of fun, and we're going to record 3 podcast episodes with everyone here today to get some interactive time with lots of people. So let's get stuck into it. First things first, my lovely panel, would any of you like to share an affiliate code?
Yeah, sure. My affiliate code is Little Moon.
Anyone else?
Becca here. My affiliate code is Becca.
That's real tricky. Can you top it, Bailey?
Yeah, mine's just as complicated as Becca's. Mine is Bailey.
That's like a whole extra letter or two. So calm down, Bailey. No one's gonna get sign-ups with complicated ones like that.
Damn it.
Alrighty, so the topic that we're chatting about this afternoon, we've just all had lunch. Everyone is sitting here, and it was a terrible idea because everyone already looks really sleepy. But the three of us are going to chat about getting engagement in social media. It's a topic that's been requested by some of the ladies here that are joining us today. So let's get stuck into it. Does anyone have a question to start off with? Anything specific they're struggling with engagement in their social media? Saisha.
I'm not sure that this is entirely a question. It's half a statement that I would like elaboration on.
Great.
As I have discovered, engagement does not relate remotely to bums and seats when the content that you're posting is being engaged with by other nail techs. So how do we post for clients, not techs?
So Zaisha's asking how to post content that appeals to clients rather than nail techs, because although we really love the supportive Monaco community that we have, no one here is paying anyone else in this room to do their nails. So when we like each other's content, it isn't turning into dollar bills. So Bailey, I'm going to start with you because you're next to me. Do you have any advice for Zaisha on how you would approach getting clients to interact with your content?
It's really hard, right? Because it comes down to partly can be what hashtags you use. If people are looking for a new nail tech and they're looking for somebody in their area, another part is just people who follow you, and maybe they're casual clients rather than recurring clients that we have. I found the biggest one that gets me more client engagement over fellow nail tech engagement is when I'm targeting my captions more to clients than to other nail techs. So something I personally really like to do is some of the education stuff. So the other day I posted a set of naked nails that one of my clients had come to me with, like, an awkward gap between her appointments, and we did a removal and a reapplication later. But even something like that, where you have that opportunity to specifically engage with clients about why you're a really good nail tech, and I'm going on about healthy nails and this is what a safe removal looks like and that kind of thing, because nail techs know that, but that's something that's really targeted at clients.
I think as well, like, you've got, if I post a step-by-step of how I did nail art, it means nothing to a client. They're going to be like impressed, hopefully, but they'll be like, that's cool, and then scroll past. Like, that's not actually enticing them to book with you, because they don't really care how you did it. They don't even care that the lamp cures. They just go, oh, it's so magic that it dries so fast every freaking day of my life. They don't care how you did it. They just want to wear it. So you want to be solving a problem. And if you are, like, I'm not saying you as Aisha, but, like, if anyone is posting, like, a step-by-step or anything that's relating to the products that you're using and stuff like that, you're not solving the problem of the client. So they're not engaging and going, oh, yeah, I needed that information, because they didn't. They didn't need to know how you got to where you got at the end with the nail art. It's interesting, but you didn't solve any problem they've ever had. So why would they then trust you to solve the problems they do have, which you haven't actually addressed at all? So if you're going to want to attract clients, you need to be solving their problems, which is where you're more likely to go with something like a nail journey, going from naked nails to the after, or relating it to events that they go to in real life. Going, like, I used to do a thing with bridal clients where if they sent me one photo of their nails from the wedding from the official photographer, I would give them a voucher for another set of nails free from me, because I was getting that one professional quality photo of my work for the price of a jar many, who cares? But so they're seeing nails in the context of the wedding they're planning, or they're seeing nails out and about, trying to get the real life photos from clients, or staging quote unquote real life photos. So taking your client outside, giving them a glass of apple juice and getting that photo of them chaising or stuff like that, that takes your nails out of the salon and puts them into the real life of the clients and makes them imagine having those nails for themselves. But just targeting, like, you want to be solving a problem, and their problem isn't how to paint anything.
I was also just gonna add, like, showing, like, posts where you're showing your face and stuff too, so that the clientele can kind of see you as a person. You know, not just looking at your feed going, oh, just nails, that they see 100 million feeds of, you know, as well.
Yeah, I think when I think of a lot of the nail techs that I follow, their whole account is about, you know, servicing other nail techs. They want to be influencers. That's how they make their money. So I think it's, you're going down a tricky road even trying to emulate them. Like, I know I've gone to post some content and thought, oh, the French is slightly wonky on that one finger. And it's a detail that I know other nail techs will see, and so it makes me not want to post it. But actually a client wouldn't even notice, because they don't have that practiced eye, right? They don't know what they're looking for. So in that case, you might just have to, like, shut out the noise and be like, who cares about the other nail techs out there? I'm just going to post what I want, what I think will attract clients, which these guys have kind of already talked about.
The other thing that I was thinking is that seeing your real life is really important to clients, because you are asking them not just for $70. You're asking them to come and hold hands with you for an hour, when the only other person they probably hold hands with for that length of time is their significant other. And so there's a certain level of trust. It's also a lot of money, because I know that the audience listening to this podcast, the audience in this room, is not nail techs who are on minimum wage in a bulk turnover salon. We are nail techs who are charging a reasonable amount of money. If I am going to trust you with $70, I need to know who I am trusting. So not making your whole feed about your kids and your dogs, but, like, every now and then just putting your real life out there and going, hey, I am a person. I'm not going to bite when you book in, and you can trust me. I'm going to appreciate and respect the fact that you are giving me a shit ton of money, and I'm going to give back to you what I have, but I'm a safe space to do that. And all you have to do is, like, show me a little smidge of your real life. Show me your face every now and then. Show me, like, the salon. Show me just little pieces of what I can expect before I hand over that money. And then that's going to get me engaging, because I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to be friends with her. Or, yeah, not my person. And then great, because they've left a space for someone who will come back.
Yeah, I think the personality, like, sharing some of your personality is a big one too, right? Because there are, I mean, I know I've gone and had various services done where two people will do an equally good job, but I just vibe with someone better, so yeah. I'm gonna go to them because I like the relationship I built with them, so I'll go back to them. And it comes down to, yeah, they are or they aren't your person. And if people get to see those little snippets of you, then they can know, oh, okay, actually, this is going to be more than just nails. This is going to be a really nice experience. I get to have a chit-chat with somebody who is looks like a great time, as opposed to, oh, I don't know who this stranger is that I'm maybe signing up to go to their house and get my nails done by, because a lot of us are home-based techs as well, so we do invite people into our space like that, and sometimes they have no idea who we are before that happens.
You, as well, you said about directing your captions at clients and not at nail techs. So like we've kind of touched on this. There is a very active group chat for the attendees of Summit 2024, and we've touched on it in that group chat, the fact that people who enroll at Monaco Nail Academy tend to be 90% a very specific breed of human. I even heard Becca saying earlier this afternoon, I think it was you, Becca, saying that that we all have so much in common. No matter who the Monaco tech is, you tend to find that you have something in common with them. And in line with that, my friend Bonnie, who is not a nail tech, she's a yoga instructor. She was saying literally just 2 days ago that she's just started following our social media. Like, I think it just came up randomly and she was like, hey, that's Penny's account, and like started following. She's now subscribed to like the YouTube channel and the newsletter, and like she's lapping it up. And she said the other day it's actually been really good to watch it, because for her, with her social media for her business, she felt like she always had to be super polished and professional. And she was like, hashtag no offense, but by following ours, she has realized that you can be colloquial and like, and just be yourself. Because I will only schedule, I either put our social media up on the day, or if I'm in a specific mood where I know I can smash out captions that are actually interesting, I will not schedule social media if I am not in the mood, because all you're going to get is, like, say, from my salon account, all you're going to get is cute pink nails for summer. I don't give a fuck about cute pink nails for summer. It's lame. What I care about is, like, oh my God, this client had this story shared with permission, or like right before I posted this, I spilt all that glitter. Like, tell me who you are. Tell me that you have problems too. I don't care what color the nails are. You just gave me a photo. Zaisha, you had your hand up.
I really like using ChatGPT, which I know a lot of people don't like, but if you give it enough context, it spits out the best captions that actually embody what you're trying to come up with, but your brain won't make work with.
Yes, Zaisha's making a recommendation for ChatGPT being able to just zhuzh up a caption. And absolutely, like Zaisha touched on the fact that not everybody is a fan. I mean, it terrifies me, I will be honest. But I will say, slightly off topic for a second, love a tangent, that yesterday I had, so in the YouTube caption, you can't hyperlink. So you just put like, these are the products I used and these are the links. I copy that, I paste it into ChatGPT, and I say, can you please hyperlink this description for me? And ChatGPT does all the work and spits it back out with the hyperlinks put in. However, what it did yesterday was it also hyperlinked the word Monaco Nail Academy to our actual correct website, uh-huh, and hyperlinked subscribe to our actual correct YouTube channel, and then also hyperlinked the word ombre to the Wikipedia definition of ombre. But I definitely use ChatGPT, but like to zhuzh, you know, which I think is kind of what Zaisha's saying. Like, I will put in, like you were saying, enough information to give me the bits, like, and what I will often write my caption, then put it into ChatGPT and say, can you please take, I say please because what if the robots take over and then they're mad at me? So I say please.
Stay in your good books.
Yeah. Sure. I will say, can you please take this caption and just tweak the keywords to work better for Instagram's algorithm, Facebook's algorithm, YouTube's algorithm, and it will spit out something very slightly different for each of those ones. And if you say, and tell me why you did it, it will, because it's creepy like that. And also, if it's not giving you what you think you want, the other thing that I've done when getting it to zhuzh stuff technical term, is to, there's, I googled like top 10 tips for clickable titles, and I found an article, and I took the address of the article, put it into ChatGPT, and said, can you take the tips from this website and apply it to this caption? And it's so creepy. It came straight back and was like, sure, here are 10 options for new captions. And under each caption, it was like, this is why. Like, this takes this tip from the article and applies it in this way. It's so creepy. But I agree. It should be used carefully, and it doesn't replace that human interaction, but it's really helpful for stuff like that.
When I'm in that mood where you, like, pink nails, I bullet point all of the important information, and then I'm like, can you make this sound happy?
So one of the things that the attendees of Summit 2024 did in advance was send us a couple of prompts for things they wanted us to cover. So one thing in here with this topic covering engagement, Nanette was wanting to know what to post, which I feel like we've covered a little bit. But if that's not the case, guys, feel free to ask questions more on what specifically to post, but also timing. So I'm going to throw to Becca this time and go, what timing do you have, a timing strategy?
So preface this by saying I have a love-hate relationship with social media. So I'm not as consistent as I would like to be in my own social media. I use the Meta scheduling tool, and that actually suggests when your followers are active. I don't know how accurate it is, but my apparently are most active at 8 o'clock at night. So that's when I schedule my Instagram posts for. Seems to work. And Facebook is 7 o'clock at night. So I can schedule them for different times all in one handy dandy place. There's different strategies around how often you should post. Like, obviously the algorithm likes you to post more, so it'll put more stuff in front of people. But I think it has to be manageable for you as well, for like, you don't want it to take over your life. So as long as I'm doing sort of like 3 a week, I'm like, that's fine. I've done the thing. If you have more energy and love posting on social media, then every day is probably even better. Several times a day is probably feeding that algorithm, you know.
If your bills are paid and your goals are met, you do not need to post.
Exactly. Right? That's my thinking, exactly. Just enough to, like, remind people I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my kind of strategy.
There's an argument as well for, so how a lot of the platforms will tell you what time is going to be the best, or you can go into the insights and work it out for yourself. There's also an argument for posting at the opposite time. So shout out to Steph from Gel Inc, because she was live this morning while we were sitting in the car waiting to pick Bailey up from the airport. And it was like, what time? Like 7:30 that I would have been in the car. So 7:30 this morning on just a Thursday morning, and I jumped on because I was sitting around doing nothing. Were there hundreds of people watching? No, but we were all engaged because we were all watching because we had random schedules. And the argument as well for posting when you are not supposed to is that no one else is. Mm. So you'll be the only one that people see because no one else is posting at the same time. So I do a mix of what Becca does, like following the sort of times of when it recommends or when I know people are on, and then also a mix of just chucking a post up. And I often find, and I can't explain why, that if I write and then post immediately at a random time, it will get immediate engagement. Like, the little fairies out there know that it's like immediate, and people will start seeing it. And what was the other thing I was going to say was, oh, and then also my TikTok strategy is when I schedule, because about half of our TikTok followers are in the US and then half are here, and it's all different time zones. So my TikTok strategy is to open the time thing, start scrolling, and let it just go until it stops. And then that's when I post on TikTok. Question?
Not a question, but I just saw something on engagement on Instagram the other day that I think Boss Your Salon put out. And she said, just randomly, but she's been testing the theory for about a year now, that if you just stop posting for like 4 to 5 days and then you post something, the algorithm is like, oh, we need this to get good engagement for you to like want to keep posting.
Yeah.
So it really pumps it, and that post will get so much more engagement than anything else. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else relate that to carb cycling in their head? Yeah, that I think as well, having you just don't post shit stuff, basically. Like, don't post for the sake of posting. Becca wants to post 3 times a week? Great. Zaysha can't think of a caption? Cool. Don't post, because what you are doing by putting up a shit post is teaching the algorithm that your content is crap and should not be shown to people. If you put something up that's a bit rubbish, no one likes it organically because it was a bit rubbish and they're not all your friends and they don't really care. So they don't click it, and then the next time the algorithm won't show people your actual good content because it's like, well, you can't really trust that. No one liked it. So they don't show you the next thing. Question at the back.
Do you think that even for the likes of a hashtag, like if a nail tech was in Hamilton and they did hashtag Hamilton nails or whatever, would something even like that work? So then it's people within your area that would pick it up?
So the question, because no one can hear that. So the question is working with hashtags and whether or not you can use like location specific hashtags to get more engagement. I'll pass to Erin and the girls in a second, but my personal view on that is yes to do it. And Hannah pointed out that, for example, using the hashtag Hamilton nails would get people in the Waikato in New Zealand, but also people in Canada. But also that's okay, because yeah, they're not going to give you money, but like the people who are in Hamilton in New Zealand are still also going to see it. I think the danger with hashtags is when people go too specific. So like if you were to say Hamilton nails NZ, no one's looking at that hashtag. No one has ever clicked it before. So you want to walk a fine line with hashtags between too broad, because hashtag nails has billions of posts, and then hashtag Hamilton nails by Caitlin has one and no one's ever seen it. So you want to have something in the middle where you can go pink nails and people will see that, people will follow that. If you want to use hashtags for location specific engagement, which is where we're going to get paid, is to use other people's hashtags. So for example, the color run, like a lot of people are aware of the color run. You do a little fun run, people throw colored powder at you, everybody posts on social media. There's a hashtag for the color run. Make sure that you go back into your archive, you find your rainbowiest set of nails you've ever done, and you post that with the color run hashtag as the color run is on and that hashtag is peaking. When pink comes to town, if there's a hashtag, I don't know if there was, but for like pink NZ, then you're posting all your pink sets with that hashtag when the concert is in town and that hashtag is trending, rather than going for too much like generic stuff. And you had your hand up.
Oh, apparently the algorithm, as of like last week, no longer gives an F about hashtags. It SEOs your caption. Hashtags are now, according to the algorithm, just for when people actually like use it as a search bar.
But that's what I'm talking about. So in case the podcast didn't pick it up, like, so talking about whether or not hashtags are still relevant to the algorithm or whether or not it's just for people searching, it is. And hashtags have been coming and going and coming and going ever since Twitter introduced them. They're always going to be, this is fun now and this is not fun now. Because for a while, people went through that whole phase of just hashtagging, I went to Monaco Summit. Like, no one cares what you did. Every sentence is not a hashtag. And so hashtags stopped working in the algorithm. The algorithm was like, no one's using hashtags. And so hashtags stopped being effective. But as soon as people started using them properly, then hashtags started coming back again. So, yeah, is it part of the algorithm showing to people? I mean, maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be on any given day. But I know I personally will follow hashtags of stuff that interests me. So, or I'll at least click it and be like, oh, what have people been posting, and browse for a minute. So that is how you're going to get it. What's your question?
Does hashtags work in comments?
I think so. Do hashtags work in comments? Yeah. I'm pretty sure they do. Yeah, they're clickable.
Yeah.
I think at the very least, do hashtags work in comments? I don't know that it would put that post into the hashtag feed, but it would give people a way to click into that feed. And if you were already in that feed, it would work, if that makes sense. So if you have a sell on specific hashtag, if you were to go, like, say you see someone tags you in a photo of the nails you did, a client tags you in those photos, then if you went in and said, like, oh, thanks so much for posting, hashtag, like, nails on wheels, or I don't know all of your things, so I just picked the one that was in my head. then when someone sees that, they can click the hashtag and immediately see a feed of not only your photos, but everyone else who has had that tagged. So it would work in that way, but I don't think it would put in the feed. Any?
I think the hashtags and comments came around for a couple of reasons. One was not clogging up your actual caption space. And then the other one was like a people trying to fight their algorithm thing, which we did an amazing podcast on all about the algorithm, but it, like, people trying to avoid having too many in the captions and moving some to the comments. And yeah, there's a lot of like interesting reasons sometimes trends like that will pop up, but yeah, more along those lines rather than.
Is refusing to use TikTok going to be something that potentially impacts?
I love that question. Okay, so Brittany said, is not using TikTok going to have a negative impact on her salon?
You answer, spot prize.
Ooh. Ooh. Come okay. up here close to the mic, Pat. What you got?
I've got, from one of our sponsors, Light Elegance, we've got...
It's from Gel Ink.
From Gel Ink.
It is like Elegance products, but we want to shout out Steph at Gel Ink. Okay.
For sure. She was just on live stream earlier. Yeah. We were just talking about that. We've got a Hello Kit Soak Off Gel Polish System with a base, two gel polishes, and a top coat. So you've got the whole system. And it is... Was it you?
Brittany.
Brittany, was it you? Did you... Were you...
Yes.
Most recent question.
Yes. Yeah. This is for you! Yay!
And Steph has spoiled the bejeepers out of us. She's given us two different spot prizes. That's one of them. And she really spoiled us. So thanks, Gel Ink. And so the question was, now that Brittany's too excited, she's not even going to listen to the answer. She's like, what did I get? I wouldn't. I'd be like, yeah. Does anyone want to go first? Or I'll just go and you can add in. Yeah. So my opinion is, if you don't want to do something, don't do it, because you're not going to do a good job of it and it's going to make you look like shit. If you don't want to be on TikTok, don't be on TikTok. I fully support it. But also, you can be, is okay, are you anti TikTok or anti short form video content? Okay, great. Then make short form video content and put it other places, because I think more so than the platform, because platforms are going to come and go. Like, when we first started Monaco, we got 14,000 Facebook followers in the first 2 years, and then we've had 1,000 since in the following, like, lots. 12 years? I don't know. Platforms are going to come and go, then Instagram takes over, and then, like, Snapchat was in there for a while, where you really had to be posting on Snapchat for a business, and then that disappeared. The platforms are going to come and go. You just want to play them while they are the thing that's going to give you money. And if you're not playing the game well, it's not the way that you're going to get money. But also, if you don't like TikTok, the people that are going to come to you probably don't like TikTok either. So it doesn't matter. The thing that would hurt is not doing any short form video content, because that is where the algorithm is currently rewarding people the most. It's also where people are going to. Statistically, people are going straight past the feed, straight to the short form video, aka the reels or the shorts or the TikToks, or they're going straight to the minute or less videos, and they're scrolling through them and just doom scrolling the videos way more than static feed. So if you're not doing short form video content, you will be impacted. In saying that, if you hate short form video content, don't do it, because you're still going to produce better content if you're doing something you love. And when you're doing something you love, you're going to attract people that love the same thing and fit the same bubble. So yeah, some things are going to hurt, but also, like, for example, at the moment, the hours that I offer as a salon are not the hours that people would want to book. Too bad. That's what's working for me at the moment. You take the good and the bad. And if that means that you, if you didn't, for example, put up short form video content at all, is it going to take you longer to build a following? Yeah, but maybe you work on word of mouth and you get higher quality followers anyway.
With the whole, with people following on, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram and all that, so you have a feed, and then you have stories, right? Mm-hmm. If you post it on your stories, does that help towards algorithm, does it need to be in your feed?
Okay, so Michaela's saying that when you're posting on, I said your name and then I completely second guessed, even though I've met you multiple times. I was like, wait, is everybody watching me mess that up? So Michaela was just asking whether or not posting in stories is necessary to the algorithm. Yeah, so whether or not you can just do static feed or if you need to be posting to stories. I'm going to throw to Erin for your opinion. Doesn't have to be right or wrong.
It does
have to be loud, though.
I don't know, actually. Like, I don't do enough social media stuff to notice a difference.
Do you do stories?
Sometimes.
Do you do static feed?
Yes.
Always static feed?
Yes. I don't do any video stuff very rarely. I guess I just feel busy enough, so I don't need to.
Yeah, that's,
so,
yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I don't, it's just a waste of my time.
100%.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Barely. And sometimes, like, it's just additional stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like Penny said, if you don't enjoy it, you're going to produce something that's not good quality. And the amount of time, like, I know if it's something I'm not going to enjoy doing, and I'm just, like, frantic in my brain trying to, like, get it together enough to just get the thing done, that it's just so much wasted time and energy on something which in the end is going to be pretty mediocre because I don't really want to do it. So yeah, like, I think that's
did it help you to start up though? You know, you said you don't need to do it, but you do it, but did it help you initially?
We're going to come back to that in 1 second, because I want to say a point related to that, and then I'm going to get you to repeat your question in a second. So I'll say my stories strategy, because I, similar to Becca, I have a love mostly hate relationship with social media as it enters my personal life, but I love the strategy behind doing it from behind the scenes, which ties into our next podcast episode, which will be about gamification. But so I downloaded all the apps for this weekend, and they will all go off my phone again on Sunday when this event is over. I don't have any of the apps. I do everything through Business Suite or through the beta TikTok Creator Studio. Like, I have nothing. I don't even have Messenger on my phone. I downloaded it for this event because I don't like that stuff. However, I am aware that when people, like, if I do go onto one of the apps for any reason, I generally will go straight to stories way before the static feed. I feel like in my brain, it's somehow just like, I'll just quickly look at these things. Like, that, I don't know what the facts are behind that, but that's my brain. My strategy on having content across all of those things is that I edit my photos in Canva. And every time I edit photos, I then immediately use the resize and copy tool on Canva, and I resize that exact same thing I just edited to story shaped. And then I export the two. I have the exact same content. And with my stories for my salon, I have 3 folders of content that are sitting there. My work, behind the scenes, and then because I live in a small town where our population is not enough to sustain the number of nail techs in our town, but I can make money off people traveling. And so my current strategy that I've used before, but then I took a break and now I'm back in the infant stages of, is I want to get people so interested in my work that they will, like, drive an hour to come to me. So on my stories and stuff, I'm now starting to intersperse content that promotes other aspects of our town to go, like, hey, well, it's not a waste of time, because if you could come and get this for lunch at the same time, or you could go to this shop that has stuff that no one else has at the same time. So that's what I'm doing for my stories strategy, is less of the live stuff, because I don't want to have it on my phone. It would drastically reduce my productivity, because I know that I'll doom scroll. I it's not because I don't like it, it's because I like it too much, and then it hurts my brain, so I get rid of it all. But so I don't do any of like live stories or stuff like that, with exceptions for events like this where I want to record it and I'm having fun doing it. But generally I just make my content feed sized and story sized, and then I don't post to the same place at the same time. So I'm picking totally, I will bulk create the content. I'll get a fresh 50 photos into each folder, and then each day I'll put a couple of each up onto stories, and then something totally different from the same folder though into the feed, if that makes sense. There was a question over here, was it Zaysha?
I was just going to say, apparently from when I did a how to Instagram stuff thing, it said your stories, what you post on there, should be targeted at your followers, because your stories don't get fed to random people. So, and your followers generally don't go to your feed or the amount of people they follow. Like, good luck with their scrolling through that. So yeah, that should be targeting new clients who find you.
Yeah, so Zaysha was making a real good point that the feed is more for people who are browsing your profile. The stories are often more for people who are following your profile already. What I will say is, with the stories, making sure that you tag everybody, because everyone is struggling for content. So the only way your stories will get seen by other people is if you are tagging other pages who are then sharing. Because if you tag me, I'm going to share it, because I don't want to have to make content all the time. And so if you create content for me, I'm going to take it. Thank you very much. And so if you tag other people, like if I am, especially for me, again, being in a small town, if I have a photo of someone's nails, I am tagging them and where they work. And that's not abnormal in our town. Like, that kind of is, like, if so many people are self-employed that it wouldn't be abnormal for someone to tag me and to tag my salon in a post if they did it, or, you know. So posting whatever you can in other accounts, and like talking about the color run before, tag the color run. Like, that's how you're going to get a story seen by other people. Any add-ons to that before we jump to Wendy?
I think stories have so many amazing tools to actually have conversations with your followers as well. You know, polls, feedback, they can send a little heart really quickly and easily. So just building on what Sasha was saying about, you know, to have, use that opportunity to have those conversations and get them to vote on what new colour you should buy next and all of that kind of thing, to make them feel like that little insight into your life.
Yeah, building a relationship.
Exactly.
It's social media. It's not traditional one-way media. It is supposed to be social.
Yeah, and though, like, I find a client is more likely to repost their own nails if I share their nails on a story. Because when, granted, they're tagged, they could absolutely just share my static feed post. But when it's on a story, it's really quick to just add to story. And so then it's on their story, I'm tagged all there, and it's now being exposed to their followers. And typically, you know, you trust a friend's recommendation for any kind of service. So I've definitely, a lot of my more recent new clients, as some people will know, some won't know, I don't do nails full time, but the majority of the people I do are referrals. Immediately it's, you know, always some friends and stuff like that, but referrals have been people who have stuck around too, from, oh my God, they look amazing, who did your nails? And that same thing happens online when that same friend is sharing it to their story, and then their friends are viewing their stories, and all of a sudden it trails back to you. So, like, that's, I think, more helpful than tagging them in a static feed, is like that exact same post, and you can be super lazy with the caption on a story, but they're tagged, and then they're like, oh, my nails look really cute in that photo, I'm going to share it to my story. And then they tag you in it, and now all of their friends are like, oh, so that's where she gets them done.
Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to chat about us, because we're not going to go for a course-specific ad this week. Obviously, this event has brought a whole heap of nail techs together, and we're pretty proud of that. So we are just promoting the fact that if you have come across this podcast randomly and have been following us, we actually do teach things. You can go to www.monaco.ac.nz and browse any of our courses, ranging from beginners to advanced, $15 up to $4,000. There's something for everyone, online and in person. Give us a chair if you want people to visit the website. was a little worried that wasn't going to happen, but I'm glad it did. All right, so heading over to Wendy, you had a question. Can you repeat it for me, please?
I was just asking Erin, like she said, she doesn't need to put anything on social media.
Yeah.
Because she's fully booked, like she doesn't need to.
Oh, yep, yep.
And advertise, however, did that help you start out?
So Wendy's asking if, so although Erin has said that she doesn't really have to post that much because she's so busy at the moment, shout out to Erin, but was it still something that built her clientele originally?
Yes, and also built my confidence when I started, because having people comment on my work as it progressively got better as I learnt more and data helped my confidence well, so it was good for more than just one reason. So yeah, I think that it's definitely worth doing. Yeah, when especially when you're first starting and you may not have full books, you've got time to do it. So
yeah. Yeah. I would say as well, I have ebbed and flowed between posting all the time, trying to grow, and then taking breaks where I was like, well, I'm full, so I don't really have the time for this, and it's not bringing me joy right now, so I don't want to do it. Yeah. What I will say, though, is that in your clientele, someone is always going to buy a house and change their budget. They are always going to have a baby and change their priorities. They are always going to move towns and no longer be there. So, I mean, it kind of ties in with like all of the people that say like, my books are full, which, okay, cool. If that stops you getting inquiries that are stressing you out, you write whatever you want to write and do your business the way you want to do it. However, having, for my personal experience, I did promote that my books were full, and then all that happened is no one ever referred me. Like, my clients would turn up and say, oh, my friend at work was saying how cute my nails were, and I was like, never mind, she's full, you can't get into her. And then I'm like, oh, okay, but actually Sarah just had a baby last week and isn't coming back, so actually I actually really could have done with that referral. And so although I personally have taken breaks from social before where I'm like, this is not making me happy at the moment, I'm not going to do it. I feel like there should be some level of consistent posting, like what Becca was saying before, 3 a week instead of 1 a day or whatever, just something to keep you in people's minds for when you do want them back. Because, yeah, it's kind of whatever works for you, but that's what happened with me. Question, Leonie.
Well, just sort of, it's probably off topic, but the same sort of thing is when your clients are actually gatekeeping you. So they, even if you're not on social media or whatever, but your people might not want to tell people that you're available because they want you to be available for them.
Yeah, and it might have picked that up, but so Leonie talking about the idea of people, clients gatekeeping you, wanting you all for themselves. Mm-hmm. I had a client once that would always talk about how, like, so-and-so asked about my nails, so-and-so. But she would say with such pride, like, oh, my workmate Dave at work, he was like, wow, where do you get your nails done? They're so good. I bet my wife would love to go. And I was like, oh, well, they are $85, though, so it's just, I don't know, it's quite expensive. And she said it with so much pride it was like this thing for her to be like, well, they're really expensive and you can't have them. And I'm like, wait, I needed that though. And like, just, but you can pay for it. So why are you assuming Dave can't? Like, it's not a nail bar in a mall, but like, someone had that money and it was you. But I've definitely experienced a little bit of that whole gatekeeping thing. I don't know, have you guys?
Yeah, I mean, they've not said it directly to me. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. But other than, oh, you know, she's really busy, that kind of stuff. I don't know how you would deal with that, because other than trying to maybe make a joke with the client of like, oh, well, I do actually have space. Like, don't keep me all to yourself. But you have to be aware of it happening first, don't
you?
Yeah,
definitely.
If it has happened, I haven't noticed. I think I've probably just switched off to that.
There's a certain level where they're proud of it, though. Yeah. So then they're coming to you and telling you, like, someone asked if they could come to you, but don't worry, yeah, I stopped them. Oh, thanks. No, real glad.
I haven't had that one.
Any final thoughts, Bailey, Becca, Erin, on the idea of getting engagement, what is your number one tip, short and fast, for getting engagement? Like, on the very next thing that you post, what would you do to make sure it got good engagement?
More alpacas.
please elaborate for the podcast, because I know what you're talking about. But
so we got alpacas about a week ago, and I finally posted them yesterday, and I got more comments and engagement I've had in a long time on any of my posts. So Just get alpacas; it's that easy.
Piece of cake. They pay for themselves.
So, something that's not just nails, right? Something different and unusual is always good.
And I would have to agree with you. Just
alpacas. Just
something real from your life, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Bailey, one tip for the very next post.
Not to post shit content, but still doing something is better than nothing. Like, don't go ghost. Yes. Because I'm very good at going ghost. So that's my, like, yeah. Just doing something, and, like, consistency isn't necessarily having a constant schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's just get something out when you can.
Yeah. And I would just say, to the next thing that happens in your life, make it a post. If you don't know what to post about, wait until the next thing happens. It'll be like, nearly tripped down the stairs thinking about putting this post, but, and I'm saying that because I know that I've nearly tripped down the stairs next to us about 30 times today. But, like, anything, just get it in there that is ideally a little bit funny, but at least just a little bit silly. And then, similar to what Becca said, alpacas. Every time I feature my cats, I get more posts than any of my work. So with that done and dusted, before you disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. We will be back next week with a normal episode, but we do have two more special live episodes from Summit 2024 coming up in the future. So until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monica Nell Academy, or follow our salons. Mine is Hardlacquer NZ. Looked it up because I got asked before and didn't know. Bailey.
Mine is Bailey Janet Nails.
Erin.
Mine is Little Moon Nails.
And I'm Nails by Becca NZ.
And have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.